welcome us again. Let us just go to the business of the day. And because of the feedback I received last Sunday, they asked me to take it very slowly because so many people are following. So today I will be taking it very slowly. Where we stop, God willing, we will continue. We started last week because of those who weren't around. Let me just have a recap. We started what we titled the Pauline episode. And we argued that the Pauline episode, when it comes to the New Testament church or the New Testament setting, it is very important for Christians to understand the writings of Paul, because Paul wrote more than half of the New Testament. If you downplay the writings of Paul, which means you are half-bred Christian, because some of the things we needed in the church or we need in the church is embedded in the writings of Paul. And we agreed that Paul wrote 14 books of the New Testament out of the 27 books. And again, we traced from the time he was Saul, how he got converted, how he moved to Damascus and was shuffling Damascus to Arabian for 3 years. And we argued that during these 3 years, he never met with the apostles who were also in Jerusalem preaching the same thing he was preaching. So we took cognizance of the fact that Paul was preaching expressly from the revelation he received directly from the Lord. Physically, for 3 years, he was in Jerusalem, in Damascus. Now, theologians, they've argued that the disciples, the 12 disciples, were with Jesus for 3 years, and they learned directly from Jesus 3.5 years. So they argued that Paul also, the Lord allowed him to be in Damascus and in Arabia for 3 years, also to equal the lectures Peter they had physically under the tuition of Jesus, and also for Paul also for that 3 years to also learn from the Lord. Yes, whatever, I also agree with that. So Paul, after he was in Damascus, they planned to kill him. So from what we saw, it was not his intention to leave Damascus. It was the plot of the Jews to kill him. He escaped from Damascus and moved to Jerusalem. So when he got to Jerusalem, that was the first time he met with Peter and the rest of them after 3 years of him becoming a Christian. So we also argued that one who received expressly from God and got to Jerusalem, for him also to see that what he was actually preaching in Damascus was also what Peter was preaching in Jerusalem. Now, when he stayed in Jerusalem, he stayed for 15 days. So he was also going out and in the synagogue telling them about Jesus. Now, they plotted again to kill him in Jerusalem. With the advice of the Jerusalem church, they asked him to go back to his hometown, which is Tarsus. And Paul went back to Tarsus, where he began to preach. At least in his hometown, nobody will plot to kill him. That was where he grew up from. They know him as a bad boy before, but now they've known him as a good man. So that was where he was preaching the gospel in his village, Tarsus, until the gospel began to spread. Now, based on the agreement of what Peter and Paul were preaching, the church in Jerusalem decided to send out evangelists in order to go back to those churches that were only preaching to the Jews. Remember, those that scattered were only preaching to the Jews. Now, further revelation, progressiveness of revelation, that the Gentiles have been grafted into the commonwealth of Israel, there is now need for evangelists to begin to go around to the established churches and begin to present this progressiveness of revelation to them. Now, the church now agreed to send Barnabas. Now, Barnabas became the missionary man that was going to those churches to let them know the new move of the Holy Spirit. Now, when Barnabas finally got to Antioch was not actually far. It's not far from Tarsus. Remember, he met with Paul in Jerusalem. Now he decided to go and look for Paul. And that was when he moved to Tarsus and he saw Paul. He said, Paul, this gift you have, this revelation you have, is not something you will just localize. Why don't you come to the city so that from there we will begin to educate the Gentiles the more? That was how Paul agreed with the persuasion of Barnabas, and they both came to Antioch Church. Praise Master Jesus. So that was what we covered last week. Now, from here, we want to progress, because we will progress to see how the church, the Bible book, for example, the book of Galatians, how did it come about? As a Christian, you open the book of Galatians, you just start reading. Have you ever thought what gave birth to it? Are you among the school of thought that thought Paul was just sitting down, or he was in the dream and the Holy Spirit just called on him, Paul, take your book, take your pen and begin to write? No, it was physical events that brought about the books of the Bible that we have today. And when we understand these events and what gave rise to those writings, then you will appreciate the Bible very much now, because there are things you now understood. Praise Master Jesus. So building from there, let us go to the book of Acts chapter 13. We are now moving into today's class. From what we've said, Paul, they've now arrived in Antioch. They are now in the church of Antioch. Paul is a minister in the church of Antioch. Barnabas was a minister in the church of Antioch. So as the service was going on like this, just for example, a Sunday like this, the church, most probably they were having their 21 days fasting for the Holy Spirit baptism, because the church, they were all in fasting during this time that the Holy Spirit spoke. I believe they were on 21 days fasting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 1 of chapter 13 of the book of Acts. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Mania, which had been brought up with Herod the teacher, and Saul. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the church, they were on fasting session, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. I explained it last week as the service was going on, like we saw last week Sunday, while the praise and worship was going on, a brother fell under anointing. And the coordinators were coming to hold him, The Spirit was so powerful in him, immediately he burst in tongue. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Holy Spirit, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. That happened in the physical church. The church took a cognizant of it that it was the Holy Spirit. They can't argue with it. So after this has been done, when you go to verse 3, the Bible says, and when they have fasted and prayed, now the church, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. They called Barnabas and Paul. They called them to the altar. They said, church, you people are witness of how Holy Spirit has spoken concerning these two brothers. Now we want to pray for them and ask the Lord to help them. They prayed for Paul and Barnabas. The pastor of the church laid his hand upon them, imparted unto them, and they sent them forth to where the Holy Spirit was leading them. Praise Master Jesus. So this is the bearing now. The Holy Spirit has sent them forth. Now, this is the beginning of Paul's missionary journey. Now, take note, this is not the beginning of Paul's missionary journey. So let us have the slide and take some notes. Let me have the slides. Pauline episodes. Paul and Barnabas separated by the Holy Spirit, just like I explained. The church in Antioch prayed for them. Now, if you look at that verse so that you don't get confused, He said the Holy Spirit sent them forth. And he also said the church sent them forth, two sending. So now, allow me to say that the church also must have, that sending forth, the church also must have provided some of their immediate needs as they were going on that missionary journey. Then the Holy Spirit sending them forth also means that the Holy Spirit was giving them directions on how to navigate. Now, look at the third point there. He said, Paul, Barnabas, and John left for the journey. So it was three of them. While the commission was given to Paul and Barnabas, they decided also to take John Mark. John Mark is the writer of the book of Mark. So as we go forward, we develop it. Now, they decided to go with John Mark. Three of them going on this missionary journey. Next, have the next slide. Paul's missionary journeys. Paul went on three pioneering missionary journeys. He went on the first journey, he came back, he went on the second journey, he came back, he went on the third journey, with which he went to Jerusalem and where he was killed. We will go through them, but today we are going, first journey started around the year AD 47. There are also people coming up with different dates, but you will see that he started between this time. Some will say 48, some will say 49, but it's within this time that he started his first missionary journey. Now, he left from Antioch. From Antioch, he moved to Cyprus. From Cyprus, he moved to Asia Minor. So this is the movement of Paul. Now, what completes a missionary journey? A missionary journey from Antioch back to Antioch completes a missionary journey. Are we getting it? He leaves from Antioch, goes wherever he wants to preach, and when he comes back to Antioch, that completes the missionary journey, which means Antioch is the home church of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul didn't start up any personal church of his. Apostle Paul was a visiting evangelist and apostle planting churches, but he had his local church. When he finishes what the Lord has sent him to do, he comes back and submits himself on the pastor of the church of Antioch. When he is given time, he preaches. Praise Master Jesus. Now, let me have the next slide. Paul's first missionary journey. These are the cities that Paul went through. These cities covered, or these places covered, his first missionary journey. He went to from Antioch, he went through Cilicia. We will get to explain them one after the other. He went to Salamis. He went to Paphos, which is under Cyprus. Remember in the first slide, we said he moved from Antioch to Cyprus to Asia Minor. So he went to Perga, which is there. And these are the churches of Galatians. Hold it there. We want to take something now. These four, Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, these are churches that are under the region of Galatians. Now, when you see the book of Galatians, there is no singular church that Paul wrote to as the church of Galatians. So the book of Galatians was written to these churches that are under the region of Galatians. Praise Master Jesus. So let's take comparison now. Open the book of Galatians chapter 1. Let's take comparison on how Paul wrote to an individual church and what he said concerning the Galatian church. The book of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, I read verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Verse 2. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches. You can see plural there. It's not a singular statement. Unto the churches of Galatia. So this letter was not written to a particular church. It was written to these churches that are under the churches of Galatia. not limited to this, but this is what we have in record. Now, to compare this, let's take, for example, the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians. Let's take, for example, chapter 1, verse 1. He said, and Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and our brother Soten, verse 2. Unto the church, you can see now, it's a singular term. He said, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. So the book of Corinthians was written to a particular church. But that of Galatians, there is plural. It was written to the churches in Galatia. So go back to that slide. So these are the churches that are under the region of Galatians that Paul went through. So before Paul went here, no churches was established here before. Paul was the first person who went through these places and he planted church. So this first missionary journey of Paul was when Timothy, the great Timothy that we know, this was when Timothy was converted. Timothy is from this region. It was bracketed in Lystra, Iconium. He is from that region. So it was this missionary journey of Paul that Timothy got converted as a little young boy. But Paul have not noticed. When he comes the second time in his missionary journey, that was when they presented Timothy to him that Timothy have received the gospel. Praise Master Jesus. Let's go to the next slide. The next slide. The next slide, because of our time, let's be a bit faster. Okay, we'll talk of this is Seleucia. Seleucia is under Antioch. So Seleucia is the seaport. This is where, when you look at that verse, Paul came to Seleucia. He didn't come there to preach, but Seleucia was the seaport with which they want to enter the boat that they will start their missionary journey. So Seleucia, this is the seaport of Antioch, and is the port of their embarkation to which they started the missionary journey. So they sailed from Seleucia, as recorded in the Bible in Antioch, and they moved to Cyprus. Let me have the next slide. We are now looking at Paul's missionary journey. The next slide. Now, they've arrived Cyprus. Remember, three of them now. They've arrived Cyprus. Paul started his missionary preaching here. He started his first missionary preaching in Salamis. So when he finished preaching in Salamis, obviously there are people who believed, and a church also started there. From Salamis, they sailed. From Salami, they sailed to Paphos. Now, Paphos is where we know the story of the false prophet Elymas. This is the place Paul had a encounter with them, because Elymas is the prophet of the deputy of that country, Sejon Paulus. Because Sejon Paulus, Elymas didn't want him to believe in Jesus, he stood against Paul. And that was when Paul became angry, and Paul prayed, the young man became blind. So that account you see in the scriptures happened in Paphos. When this is completed, Paul left Cyprus. Now, he's not moving. And don't forget, this is the place where Barnabas comes from. Barnabas is from Cyprus, so he knows very well this terrain. So they move after they've preached in this very area. Paul now moved to another region. Let's have the next slide. Paul now moved into the churches of Galatians. Now, we have two Antiochs in the Bible, so you need to be conversant with those Antioch. We have the Antioch of Syria, which is the home church of Paul, and we have the Antioch of Pisidia, which is where Paul has gone to, that the church that is within the Asia Minor. Take note of that. We have two Antiochs. So when you are reading the Bible and you hear Antioch, it's now for you to know which Antioch are they talking about. That will give you a better understanding to know the picture of what happened in the Antioch they are talking about. If they are talking of Antioch of Pisidia and you are thinking it's Antioch of Syria, it becomes a problem in your understanding. So as a Christian, you need to understand these rudiments of the Bible. In Antioch of Pisidia, Paul preached Christ in the synagogue. So the routine of Paul, whenever he comes to any new city, he first of all goes to the synagogue to meet his fellow Jews to reason with them. The Jews became envious. Now in Antioch, in Pisidia, when Paul preached the first Sabbath day, the Gentiles and some of the Jews that were there, they believed and they were very happy. They now called Paul. They said, please don't go. Come back the next Sabbath day to preach this thing you are preaching. It's very sweet. Now, when Paul came the next Sabbath day to preach, by this time, evangelism has gone through the whole town. The whole city gathered. And when the Jews saw that the whole city gathered to listen to Paul, the Bible says they became envious. They didn't reject Paul because what Paul was preaching was wrong, but they saw the crowd that was following Paul and they became envious of what Paul was doing. So Paul finally turned to the Gentiles. This is where Paul, to me, officially turned to the Gentiles. When you look at that verse, and Paul told them, since after the uproar came up, Paul told them, since you have refused, the gospel is supposed to be preached to you, the Jewish people, but since you have refused, now we turn to the Gentiles. To me, this is where officially Paul turned to the Gentiles. The verse is also there. So the next point, Paul and Barnabas expelled out of Pisidia. They didn't live on their own. The people started plotting to kill them. So they got wind of it that the Jews in Pisidia, they are ganging up mob to kill them. That was how Paul and Barnabas. Okay, before this time they got here, John has already left them. We will look at that. So note now, those who believed in Pisidia, they congregated and they became a church. Now there is already a church now in Pisidia. So Paul left Pisidia and went to Iconium. There is already a church now he has planted in Pisidia. So that was how that church was planted. Let me have the next slide. Now, Paul is in Iconium now. They wanted to kill him in Pisidia. He's now in Iconium. In Iconium, Paul also went to the people and also preached Christ. The second point, the preaching of Paul divided the city. Some agreed to what Paul was preaching and some said no, that they didn't agree. Now, again, as the routine was, they started planning to kill Paul by stoning. They gathered and said, nah, this man and his people, if we don't kill them, these people will turn the people against us. And Paul and his people got wind that these people has planned that they are going to stone them to death. Immediately, Paul took Ben Johnson with his brother and they left from Capernaum. Now, another point to note that those, remember, the Bible says that the city was divided because of some who believed and some who didn't believe. Now, those who believed congregated again and they became a church. Now, there is already a church in Pisidia. Now, there is another church in Iconium. So, we are looking at his first missionary journey, how he was planting those churches. When the plot was there to kill him in Iconium, Paul now left there and went to Lystra. Let's get to the next slide. In Lystra, this is the place where the first recorded miracle of healing of Paul was recorded. When Paul entered Lystra, he saw a man that was born lame from birth. And while the man saw them, the man began to look on Paul. And Paul saw this man really had the faith to be healed. And Paul said, stand up. And the man stood up. Now in the city, everyone there knew that man to be born lame. It's not arranged. Paul is a visiting man that was not in the city. The people of the city, they were familiar with already the condition of the man. And they saw the man walking. These people, they called their high priest. And they said, no, these men, they are not ordinary men. This must be our gods that has visited us in a human form. Okay, that was how they seized Paul. They said, from today, we don't know what they call your name. Your name will become Mercurius. And they took Barnabas. They said, we don't know what you used to call, but your name is Jupiter. And it's not all. Now that we have given you chieftaincy title, Paulo 1 of Mercurius and Barnabas 1 of Jupiter. They gave them chieftaincy title. It's true now. In our days today, when you see a philanthropist that has helped a village, a city, they will call him and give him Obuefi one of Iruala. Is it not what was happening? Hallelujah. So that was how they seized poor, and they gave them chieftaincy title in that village. But they said there are rituals we need to do in order to hold this ritual chieftaincy title. They took animal to sacrifice on behalf of poor. That was what Paul said. Hey, the names you people give us, we didn't argue. But for this action you want to do, this is only for God. It's not for us. And Paul began to argue. Didn't allow them to kill that animal to celebrate them as gods. Take note here. They named Paul. Okay, like I said, Paul rejected the sacrifice. Now, the Jews in Antioch of Pisidia, where we left, the one in Iconium, where we left, they heard that the people in Lystra have started believing what Paul and Barnabas is preaching. These people entered night bus from the east, Ekele de Lituku. They entered Osondo from the east. They entered Osondo bus from the east. They started coming to Lagos. They learned that Paul is already in Lagos. And Paul is converting some of their Igbo brothers. Okay. That Pastor Moses in Lagos. And Pastor Moses is converting some of their Igbo brothers in Lagos. They enter the Kele Dirichuku bus from the east, night bus. And they arrived in Lagos early in the morning. And they started looking for where Pastor Moses' church is. This was exactly what happened. When those Jews in Pisidia and Antioch learned of what God is using Paul to do in Lystra, they entered night bus, organized themselves, and they came to Lystra. When they came to Lystra, they began to sow the seed of a discord in the mind of the people. Ah, you people, they listen to this man. He tried that in our city. We found him to be forced. We beat him. We nearly killed him. Now run around from there. Come here. You people, they say, That was how they engineered the whole people. And the Paul and Barnabas, they given chieftaincy title. Oh boy, not be smart, you know. They gathered Paul and Barnabas and they began to beat them. They began to stone Paul. As we read, he said, the believers gathered around his body. Now, take note. When those people came, engineered the locusts, they began to stone Paul. And when you read that very passage of the scriptures, Paul actually died. Let's go to the book of Acts. Okay. They also want me to take it easy. I'm just looking at our time. Child. Okay, thank you again for calling my attention. Very sorry. I'm just rushing to see how to cover what we are saying for today. Okay. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 14. Amen. So let's go from verse 19, what I was saying. He said, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. So what I am saying, all those points I placed there, these are scriptures I just extracted and placed there. So what I'm saying is in the scriptures. He said, and there came thither some Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded, remember I've said it, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had died. Now, sir, these are people that entered the night bus, hefty men, they are not children. These are hefty men that came for a purpose, and the purpose was to kill Paul. Now, Paul actually died. They came there, they stoned Paul. Look at, the Bible said they stoned him, thinking that he was dead, they drew him. Now, if Paul was not dead by that stoning, by them, they didn't carry him. If the Bible have used the usage that they carried Paul to the city gate, which means they gave him coaching, the Bible said they dragged him, they drew him. That is, Paul was lifeless on the floor. One had his leg, another one had his leg. They were dragging him, and his body also was having friction with the ground, and they drew him. So Paul actually died. Now, the theologians has depicted that this experience Paul had in Lystra is what Paul was recounting to the Corinthians in the book of Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians, let's see that. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the experience Paul had is what he wrote to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. So as we are going, we will not calculate this 14 years to actually see that it fits the mission Paul started in this Lystra. He said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knew it. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. So it's okay, go back to that slide. This was the experience when Paul died in Lystra. Paul was translated where he began to receive visions. Now, why they were stoning his body, thinking the man is dead, his spiritual man was already in the third heaven, receiving more revelations from the Lord. And why they were stoning his body, after he has done, the Lord was looking at what was happening in the earth. And they drew him to the city. And the spirit said, okay, Paul, go back to your body. The people thought you were dead. Now, the Bible says, after they got to the city, the disciples gathered around Paul. Take note, there are medical people that are here. The Bible says Paul stood up and went into the city. He didn't go to the hospital. If it was not a divine encounter Paul had by that stoning, at least there would have been some bruises on his body that will make him at least to take a break for 1 week or even a month. His eyes didn't go off. Nothing happened to his body. The Bible said the next day, the very next day, Paul left Libya and Lystra, went to Derbe. If Paul was not actually dead, we know physically his body would have had wounds. He wouldn't have had the strength to move. Praise the Lord. Now, those believers, people that believed in his message in Lystra, these people also congregated. They came together. And they became a church. Praise Master Jesus. Now, this actually, you look deep, you want to actually expatiate. This is where Timothy comes from. In the sake of argument, theologians also put it, maybe Lystra or Iconium. Any of the region, Timothy is from the region of the Galatians, like we have today. So, this is actually where he comes from. And the people gathered, and they began to congregate as individuals, as a church. Now, Paul left here the next day. But before then, let's see that book of Acts, chapter 13. The book of Acts, chapter 13. I think I'm taking it slowly now. Amen. Acts 13. Then let's continue from 20. It says, howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, what I just explained, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day, not next week, not next month, not next year, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So that shows it was a Acts 14. Verse 20, let's take it again. Sorry, not 13, 14. He said, howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So we've known now, we are matured people. If it wasn't a divine encounter, at least Paul is supposed to land in the hospital. Verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, the city of Derbe. Now, let me have the next slide. The city of Derbe. The next slide. Okay. And when they have preached the gospel to that city and have taught many, they return again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Take note why they went back. Take note before I explain. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that with much true... And that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom. Kingdom of God, verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they have believed. Now, Paul was preaching in those cities. There was something he didn't tell them. This is Paul. He didn't tell them that we must enter into the kingdom with persecution and beating. Remember, when he was preaching, he was telling them that grace have come, forget about the law. So the sermon was very, very rich. The people want to accept this Jesus. But Paul that was preaching to them about Jesus, they saw Paul being stoned. I said, is this one part of the gospel that Paul was preaching? If this is the part, I don't want to. So Paul left. When he got to Derbe here, he went back to Lystra. He went back to Iconium. He went back to Pisidia. Why did he went back? There is progressiveness of revelation. There is what he have taught them before. He needed to add something to balance their faith. What he didn't tell them that was that there is persecution in this gospel you are also receiving. So there is need at the expense and the detriment of his life. Paul went back to those cities. Paul must be a divine one called by God. Because none of us here, you went to Cotonou here, they nearly killed you. You escaped by people whisking you away. And the Lord told you, hey, Paul, you didn't complete the sermon you preached to those people. You didn't tell them that they have to suffer. Will you go back to Cotonou to tell them, I forgot to tell you people something. Me, I'm not going to go. But Paul went, and people are claiming to be apostles today. Are you ready to go through what Paul had gone through in order to establish the church? Until you answer that, then we will see you as apostle. You are sharing the position of Paul. Are you ready to, even China here, Arab nations, they can't go to preach. They can't go, but that is not Paul. Tell Paul that in China, there are people that have not received Christ. Paul will go there. He will go there. But our apostles today, Afghanistan, there are places there is no church. Let them go there. They won't go and they want to answer apostle. Now, Paul went back to those churches and began to give them progressiveness of a revelation. He began to ordain ministers, pastors, elders in the church. Now, those churches were put together. They were in functions. Why Paul was returning. Give me the next slide. Now we see this is the movement, the end of Paul's first missionary journey. He moved from Cyprus down to Perga, down there, came to Derbe, went back again to those places, and we understand already now what he went back to do. He went back to progress the revelation that was first given to them. That you have to add this, and he ordained pastors. So those churches, they have already pastors. They were established in the pure doctrine. There was no adulterated message to that which they have. But now they are pure church. We begin to see where problems begin to creep in the church. Now he went back to Antioch. Remember, I said Antioch is his home church. When he goes out and come back, when he comes back to Antioch, that completes first missionary journey. Let's have the next slide. Now, the preaching of another gospel. You see, Paul has planted these churches. The pastors were there already, and they started rejoicing, enjoying the revival which they've received. Now, the believers, Judea believers, they accused Paul of not being in the message. They first of all accused Peter. Peter explained to them the progressiveness of revelation. As the Brahmanites, they are accusing us today of not being in the message. So it didn't start today. It started from the very foundation of the church. The Judea Christians, they began to accuse Paul of not being in the message. They first of all accused Peter of not being in the message. They taught the Galatian church. You see, Paul preached already, established the church, and Paul left. Let's see what Paul wrote to the Galatians, the book of Galatians chapter 1. The book of Galatians chapter 1, let's see verse 6. Paul said, I marvel that you are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you who would pervert the gospel of Christ. Go back to the slide. Now, after Paul have returned to Antioch, his home church, he gave testimony of how God was so mighty using them to preach the Gentiles. And Paul received information that the churches you have planted, they are already in commotion. No, Paul said, what happened? They said there are people who came with another gospel. Now, you are seeing the trace now. There are people who came with another gospel. They say you are not in the message. They say they don't even know you. You just claim that you are one of them. You didn't see Jesus physically. You weren't part of the disciples. How then do you say you are in the message? Did you see Brother Abraham eye to eye? How then did you say you are in the message? Now, the message, another gospel they are given, that the Gentile Christian must first be circumcised. Now, the Judea Christians, they say the Gentile Christian, they must first be circumcised. And that is what the Abrahamites, they are also accusing us today. They said the church must first believe that Abraham is the seventh messenger. If not, you are not in the message. We will see that in the next slide. They said they must observe. Go back to the other slide. They said they must observe the law of Moses before they can become a Christian and make heaven. So they say, if you don't believe in the laws of Moses or some the observation of other laws of Moses, not only circumcision, you will never go in the rapture. They say, if you don't believe that Abraham fulfilled Revelation 10 verse 7, you are not in the message. If you don't believe in Malachi 4, 5 and 6, you are not in the message. It's the same accusation the Judea Christians, they gave to Peter. Peter explained to them, they refused. And Paul came to limelight. They began again to accuse Paul of not being in the message. Now, the Judea Christians said the Judea Christians said the law is the absolute. Whatever you are doing, if you take out the law, they said you are not in the message. As we see the Abrahamites today, they said Brother Abraham is their absolute. Praise Master Jesus. So this was how the church in Galatians was corrupted with another gospel. From the true gospel that Paul planted, and Paul went back to his home church and was rejoicing that, I have done a great work. These people, they believe in Christ. And he got news of what is happening. Let's see that in the book of Acts first. Acts chapter 15. The book of Acts chapter 15. Let me just take verse 1. Now, this is Dr. Luke saying, he said, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. You've seen it. This is what the Judea church, the Judea brethren, they were teaching in that area, in the area of Galatians, that Paul had already planted those churches. Like I said, they first of all fought Peter before fighting Paul. Let's see that in the book of Acts chapter 11. We saw that with Acts 11 verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles has also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wouldest into men uncircumcised and did eat with them. When you go back, because of our time, Peter began to explain to them. But they refused to accept the explanation of Peter. So that was how there was a problem. They began a problem in the church of Galatians. Praise Master Jesus. So let's see this next slide. Now, the Judea Christians versus the Brahmins of today. The Judea Christians, they accuse that Paul is not in the message. The Brahmins say Pastor Moses Alu is not in the message. The Judea Christians, the Gentile Christians must be first circumcised. The Brahmins say the church must first believe that Brother Abraham is the seventh messenger. Now, the Judea Christians say the law is their absolute. Now, the Brahmins say Brother Abraham is their absolute. Now, let's see what Peter and Paul has to say. Paul says the word is the absolute. Peter says the word is the absolute. The message of Christ alone. The message of Christ alone. Paul also concurred to that. Peter concurred to that. Message of Christ alone. The law points us to Christ. Brother Abraham points us to Christ. Praise Master Jesus. Now, if the law is a shadow that points us to Christ, and during the dark age, Brother Abraham brought everything, presented the Bible, and points us to Christ, are we still going to stay with the law, or we should go with that substance that the message or the law has pointed us to? So the decision is yours. But this didn't go down well in the church. There were conflicts. The people in Ghana, they were bombarding in Facebook. People in Cameroon, Paul said, okay, no problem. Let us go to the headquarters. That was where the first ministers' meeting, ministers' conference was ignited, was initiated. Now, all the ministers in all those churches that had conflicting issues, they contacted themselves. They said, okay, let us go to Jerusalem to settle the matter. In that line, knowing that we are the church of the apostolic footstep, Pastor Moses also, with that wisdom, initiated the ministers' conference. Yearly, if you have any doctrinal issues that you don't agree, we are brethren, we don't need to fight. Let us gather in our own Jerusalem council and let everyone come and present what you have and let's reason it together. Praise Master Jesus. There is no need to fight. He also has given his platform. If you disagree with anything, invite him. He will come. So that was how Paul invited the ministers wherever they are. They now move. Let's see that in the book of Acts 15 where we read. Acts 15. Because it was a very strong problem they had. Verse 2. Let's take Acts 15 verse 2. He said, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. Them now is with the Judea believers, as we are having now with the followers of Brother Abraham. So Paul also was also in that circle. He and Barnabas, they had confrontations. If they had Facebook now, I wonder if they had Facebook then, I wonder how their own would have been. They would be going house to exchange blow. But thank God they didn't have it. Now, the same problem. So, this is what they say. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go unto Jerusalem, unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through, okay. Now, they now convey, it's just, okay, Paul, we have people who have started with us. Let everyone gather. We are brethren. There is no need for confusion in the church. Let us go to Jerusalem to meet Peter, to meet other people. So that was how the church sent Paul and Barnabas to represent them. Now, in this journey, Titus already is with them. Now, in the next session, we will now see the conclusion and the resolve of the church of Jerusalem, how they settled this matter. They settled this matter, but the church in Galatians, there is already a problem. So we will now see it was this problem after the disciples in Jerusalem, the whole ministers from every part of the world, they met. And Paul, they say, hey, Paul, what is your problem? What brought you people here? Paul say, this is what I'm preaching. You know, the brethren from the Brother Abrahamite, they presented their own sermon, what they are preaching. Now, Peter, James, and John, the Bible say, who are the pillars of the church? They look at the presentation of the two groups, and they say, no, our brother Paul is correct. They began to ask, which spirit was speaking to you, Peter? When you said before, were you not the one telling us the Gentiles are not to be preached to? Now, which spirit was speaking to you when you said so? Now, you are telling us we should preach to the Gentiles. Is it not the same thing they are telling us today? They are asking us, which spirit was speaking to you before when you said, Brother Abraham fulfilled those scripture? Is it another spirit? The same accusation was what they were giving Paul and Peter. You people were preaching before that the Gentiles should not be preached to. The same Holy Spirit is still telling you, Paul, we not agree. But luckily, they now agreed that there is room for progressiveness of revelation. They agreed there that you shouldn't stereotype the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a wind. It's what we prophesy in parts. We speak in part. It's he that knows when to bend the corner of the building. It's he that knows when to bring in fresh revelation. And he will add to that which you were preaching before. Now, when that matter was resolved in Jerusalem, they now wrote a letter. They say, now, we will give you a letter. You will take those letters back to those churches. And they begin to tell them, this is what we've agreed concerning this matter. That was how the matter was laid. So Paul and Barnabas and Titus, they came back to Antioch. They started rejoicing. Now, while they were going back, they didn't go alone. They decided to give them Silas, so that when they finish presenting the letter, Silas will not say, I am coming from the headquarters. I am coming to affirm this letter. We will, from there, trace next week, we will look at Silas and we will establish to see actually that a prophet in the fivefold ministry cannot pastor a church. By next week, we will look at the story of Silas. We will look at his life. We will look at his work. When he, Silas, had all it takes to start a ministry, he had all it takes to start a movement. If our prophets of today were in position of Silas, they would have even started their church in Jerusalem. But it's not Silas. And none of them have the grace for the Bible, for your name to be written in the Bible as a prophet. You know, Silas was a true prophet. So by next week, we will see how Silas used his prophetic gift to serve the fivefold ministry of the body of Christ. Thank you very much. I don't know. Let me just take one or two questions. Please don't ask me outside what we've learned. My grace is not in that area. Amen. Any one or two questions on what we've just learned? Maybe you need one or two clarification, or all we've said is well understood. Okay, there is a question there. Please give our mommy.
Praise the Lord. It's not really a question, sir. It's the circle of, can you please play back the circle of Paul's first missionary journey?
Okay, the IT, please, can you help us? The circle of Paul's missionary journey. Maybe she missed out something there, please. So why write this? Okay. So if you also need these slides, you can meet the IT. They will provide you with it. Any other question? Okay, we have a question there.
Thanks so much.
God bless you, sir.
My beloved pastor. Wonderful exposition, wonderful teaching. Please, I just look at Acts of Apostles chapter 14, verse 22. I say, confirming the souls of the disciples. We always hear that the Catholic Church and some denominational churches, they confirm the souls. I want to know the meaning of that terminology. How was Paul confirming the souls of the disciples?
Praise Master Jesus. Now, that technology confirming the souls of the disciples, they want to know, you know, there was a problem in that city that they were driven out. Now, when they went back, they want to actually know those who have believed in what they preached before they left that city. So they were confirming those who are truly there. So the souls there is talking about an individual person. Confirming those who are with us or those who are with the Jews.
Establishing them in the truth.
Exactly. That is what he's saying. There is a word test. Because they had issue before they left. They are coming back now with a word test to know actually those who have crept in unnoticed. Remember Paul said, some has crept in unnoticed. So he actually wants to know those who are truly their disciples by giving them some of the word test over the things they preached before coming back to those cities.
Thank you
cities.
Very much.
God bless you, sir. Okay.
I please. I need a clarification concerning.
Okay, bro.
I need a clarification concerning the two Antiochs.
The two what?
You made us understand that the Antiochs, they are two. So we should be able to differentiate, please. Can we get a clearer picture of the two Antiochs?
Okay. He said he needed a clarification of the two Antiochs. Now, the first Antioch is the Antioch of Syria, which I told us they are all under our present Turkey now, the Asia Minor, they are all under. But like in the Igbo region, you have a village, for example, a village that is in Anambra, answering maybe Chukwudi. And when you go to Imo State, you will still see this is a village too, answering Chukwudi. But there are two different villages answering the same name in different region. So that was what happened. The Antioch we are talking of Syria is where the church of Syria was planted. Now the Antioch in Pisidia is actually under the Galatians church, which started moving. So that is the difference. But comprisingly, because of this thing, they are all now under what we know as Turkey, our present-day Turkey. Praise the Lord. Okay, brother, you wanted to ask something.
Good morning, church.
God bless you.
Please, I don't wish to drag every other person back, but I am one of, probably, on quotes now, the Brahamites that has been taught that William Branham is the angel of Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. So I'm just visiting for the first time. I'm completely confused. I don't understand how he's not. Thank you.
Amen. Before you come, which means you must have, I will refer you to the sermons the pastor have preached. The people here, we are well established already with the message and progressiveness of the hour. So we are building on what we've already understood. So going us back now will be another sermon of 3 Sundays. So I will advise you, go back to our archive. Pastor have excessively exhausted that topic. We are here, we don't have any confusion again. Either Brother Abraham is the messenger or not. We are well established. God bless you, sir. God bless. Okay. Thank you very much. And by next week, God helping us, we will look into the life of Silas for us to make our own judgments by all his qualifications, why he never began a church. Let us be on our feet.